okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. It's Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 475. Make that 6. Dow futures down 58. NASDAQ futures down 275. Louie, you with us, bud?
I believe I am. I've got your 5x5. How are you?
Good. How are you? What's going on, bud? The Goldman Sachs says a second wave of coronavirus could make Fed think negative rates. Lou, I have to ask you. I don't know that you're an expert on negative rates, but what is the motivation in people that there's a class of economists, there's a class of people that must have a feeling that somehow or another, even though just about everybody else says that does nobody any good, what is the drive to just like try something like that just for laughs? I mean, when we're talking about no liquidity problems whatsoever, the idea that unless it's some overall takeover plan that's going to withdraw cash from the system and everything else, is there something else going on here than just the virus? Is there some insidious takeover by the deep state or whoever the hell these people are? Is there a method to this madness? I don't get it. There's something going on. People are being favored. Other people aren't. It seems to be there's a playbook someplace that we don't seem to have. Is there, am I just being totally a nut job here? I'm turning into Wayne Madsen in front of our eyes.
I think you're probably attributing a little too much intelligence to or coordination to what's happening. I think there probably are people taking advantage of it, but I'm not a big conspiracy theorist unless I get slapped in the face with it. And obviously the situation that's developing in Washington right now is slapping me pretty good, but I don't think this particular I don't think anybody's got a feel for this particular economy to the extent that they're able to control it and to the extent that they're able to predict exactly what it's going to do. I'm reading so many contradictory reports about the effect of that $6 trillion injection and maybe another one that's coming that it's very hard for me to draw a conclusion that this is all being orchestrated for the benefit of a select few.
Yeah, and it's hard. I'm with you on that, Lou, because I think it takes way more coordination than you think. One of the most interesting books, and books, as you know, can.
I mean, Chief, so much of this is going to be driven by the reaction, the economic reaction to the virus. And more importantly, the popular reaction to what these people are putting in place. I love the fact, for example, that the Wisconsin Supreme Court, you know, reversed the governor in Wisconsin and basically said, listen, we're not going to cut you any slack on this. Restaurants, bars, et cetera, are open now because you people failed to play ball with each other on how to deal with this. And if you want to get it together, start doing the right thing. I think you're going to see a lot more of that. I think you're going to see a lot more of a populist revolt against this. I think LA, for example, is going to open up inside of 3 months, whether it's in violation of that idiotic shutdown that was imposed there or not. And I just think it's going to be impossible to predict what's going to happen with these piecemeal, and that's what it's going to be. It has to be this way. Piecemeal steps to deal with the infection. And so I think there's virtually no predictability, at least economically, no predictability in terms of what's going to happen with that.
I think, Lou, that there actually is a little bit, because what's happening is what you're seeing on the, I mean, it's always good talking to you. We're always on different parts of the chessboard. You're going through the law part of it, and what I'm seeing on this end in Chicago and Illinois is sort of in response to that, what's happening in other states. The people here, my alderwoman especially, she should be recalled tomorrow, are sending out amazing pieces of paper, and the mayor is the same way, and the governor is the same way, in regards to fear mongering the population to a point where this thing is a pretty darn nasty disease. I mean, I think you and I have read an awful lot of it and seen pictures and known people that have had it and so forth. And I'll be straight up front, I'm not anxious to pile into a case of it myself at all. I mean, I get that part, but the fear mongering and things. Matter of fact, I sent Jeff Joseph the latest missive from Michelle Smith, our alderwoman, where she has some lady doctor and her kids talking about how, you better put your mask on. I don't want me getting it because of you. I mean, this starting to separate citizens from citizens, and people who don't agree with your stuff. You can get an argument, tomorrow about whether or not you should be wearing a mask 30 years from now.
But this goes back to something you and I have talked about before in the show, and it's something that I vehemently object to, and that is the moralization or the moral injection of righteous anger into what should be rational policy debates.
When has that ever happened?
If you disagree with me, you are a morally inferior person, and that's what you're seeing with these kinds of edicts about mask wearing. Hey, you're it's for the children. You're killing my children. Blah 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 blah. As opposed to, hey, does this stuff really work? And so, I mean, I think this is where we're headed, because this is where every debate over public policy seems to head now, whether it's climate change or defense budgets or whatever. And the moral implications of this thing, if you throw a moral implication into every one of these arguments, suddenly your opponents, of course, are not only just irrational or not thinking well, they're evil. And if you can get that established, then suddenly it becomes possible for the government to step in and do almost anything.
Well, we did that on the conservative side. We sure as hell did that with the Patriot Act. What do you want, your mother being raped by some guy with a turban? Without reading the thing, right? We did that, and we clearly did that in the invasion of Iraq.
I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but it's the same. It's analogous.
Yeah. Well,
the idea that...
I'd say it was exactly the same, but yeah, I mean, but I'll tell you what, there's people... They've got people with did you see Governor Cuomo yesterday? With the mask in his hand, talking about you don't respect your fellow man.
Yes.
I mean, I don't.
The guy who single-handedly was responsible for one third of the deaths in New York, when he ordered everybody back into those nursing homes against, I guess, as far as I could tell, every professional recommendation. And I want to make a correction. I cut him some slack on that, and I said, look, I'm not going to criticize decisions made when people didn't really know what was going on. But at the time he made that decision, there he was told by everybody not to do it and did it anyway. And so for that guy to come out and lecture us about, moral implication, I think is the height of irony.
One of my friends this week, obviously we'll go nameless, wife just tested positive for antibodies. She was sick the week before and including Christmas.
Okay. Was she sick with this, or did she have the flu?
No, well, she had nothing since then that had any symptoms, so I guess she could have been symptomatic with the flu and asymptomatic with this, but she doesn't believe so.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of the issue. And it goes to, Chief, what I consider to be the unrealistic, fanciful belief that we could somehow contact, trace our way out of this thing without turning into a police state.
I think we could have in January and December. Actually, did you read, I don't know if I sent it out to everybody, that the original attempt to, in the state of Washington, to trace what they thought was the first person who had it. There was a lady from Wuhan province that landed in, and didn't feel well, landed in Seattle, and this is right when...
I saw that.
Well, it turns out, what happened was, for those of you who don't know, didn't read it, they traced her about as well as you could. I mean, everybody on the plane that sat next to her, and it pretty much traced down a bunch of other people who she had come in contact with that they quarantined, and it turns out is before I guess they had a test, but they tested positive and really thought they had the thing corralled, except what they found another person was before her that landed in British Columbia and came into Seattle, and they were the ones that actually, something like that, there actually was another person before her, and even though they managed to trace her people all the way, the people she came in contact all the way down, turns out there was another person, and that's how it all got out, or something like that.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's explains what happened in Seattle, but in New York, the infection, which by the way, New York is responsible for contaminating most of the country. The infection in New York came in from some people in Europe who had contact with Chinese nationals in Italy and other places in Europe. And it was way out of control there before they identified anything before they got a handle on it in Washington. The idea that we were going to contact trace this thing is crazy. And you got to look at what's going in place in Washington right now. They are setting out regulations that say that if you go into a restaurant in Washington, you can't go in unless you provide your name, your phone number, your email, some way of touching base with you. And if there's somebody in that restaurant who ultimately tests positive while you're there, they quarantine you for 14 days. I mean,
that's good for business.
And then every single person who was in there gets quarantined for 14 days. I mean, to do the kind of thing, for example, that they did in South Korea, would require us to basically house arrest. And when I say house arrest, I mean physically remove from your home and put you in a hotel, a lockdown hotel, for 14 days, which is what they did in Korea, if you came out positive or came in contact with somebody. It's manifestly unworkable here for any number of reasons, not the least of
which. Well, when you think about it, though, there's a certain amount of, and I'm certainly not a totalitarian, but there's a certain amount of common sense that our politicians seem to not have. That if all of a sudden somebody, if we were testing people, I mean, and had that together like other countries seem to have, if we were testing somebody and all of a sudden you had it at work, say, okay, and everybody says, okay, what is Lou guy? Well, the idea to send you home if there's 10 people at home doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense. To offer you the opportunity to go to the Conrad Hilton that's empty and hang there for 14 days and not infect your family is probably not a bad idea.
So you go to the Conrad Hilton, you walk out on day 15 and, go into another restaurant to have lunch and somebody else tests positive there.
I get what you're talking about.
But the point is, and maybe if this was Ebola, that would make sense, but it's not. And the shutdown, the fact is that we don't have this kind of control over it. Our goal was to eliminate the crush at our healthcare facilities. We've done that. My guess, based on what we're seeing out of Sweden, is that we're not going to see that many, we're not going to see a huge difference at the end of the day in terms of the total number of people affected by this, but without the economic misery.
Well, but there's an article here, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's an article here about, I don't know if I sent it to you, it's by a guy, the guy is Dr. Harvey Finneberg, that's how you pronounce it, And he's talking about the lessons learned from the 1976. I was on.
I read that.
I was on, but I'm saying I was on the show with remember Joan Esposito? She does a show here. She has me on once in a while. We were talking about it, and I said, you know, I said we're in a situation, Joan, that we none of our people. I don't know what it is when you put somebody in office. None of our people can back off what they did before. Now, whether it's the reporters, whether you're flip-flopping, whether you're doing this, I don't know. That I've never been a political person. But the fact is, right now, for anybody who has a certain amount of common sense, in my mind, which a lot of people are on this show, we all have come to the same conclusion, left, right, whatever, containment is not an option. The thing is out everywhere, has been for 4 months. The question is now, how do you deal with it? How do you make sure the less people die? How do you make sure the old people protected? And how do you do those things? And how do you open the rest of the stuff up? That there is no doubt that in every state, every town, if you open something up, somebody there is going to have it, right? I mean, this is it has gone beyond Lori Lightfoot and Jay what's his name, the guy in New York. It's gone beyond them, but they'll never admit to it.
Well, it's I think, and I was blessed through college to have my best friend and roommate, who ultimately got his PhD in industrial organizational psychology. And his comment watching the swine flu thing play out in 1976 was, large organizations react the same way in these settings regardless of the time frame. Even with more knowledge, they still react in the same way. And so, notwithstanding the experience in 1976, which was a false alarm, and I told the listeners this story. I was in the front lines of that thing. I was one of the guinea pigs that got that vaccine that they rushed out.
I got it too.
And sickened, you know.
Hang on for a second. Just let me read this for a quick second. I promise not to be long. What we saw back in 76 was that political leaders, Maddie, check this out. Political leaders wanted to do the right thing but lacked technical expertise. And public health experts recognized the uncertainty of the threat, yet wanted to convey the seriousness of the risk in a way that would overcome political inertia. In other words, they wanted to make it seem worse than it was.
They made it worse. They made it as bad as possible.
Yeah, the challenge of communication between technical experts and policymakers is as relevant today as it was in the 70s. Policymakers and experts cannot rely exclusively on such semi-quantitative qualifiers as usually, occasionally, and possibly. An event is possible when its chance of occurring is 1 per 10. It remains possible when the odds have dropped to 1 per million. A change in likelihood over 5 orders of magnitude has policy implications. But it doesn't in how you describe it. So, how do you deal with a guy like Fauci, who basically said, the only smart thing to do is to keep everything shut down. I mean, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But this is, again, I don't know, again, a little, this is weird though, because it's not, Manny and I were having this discussion on the way in. It's not what he said, or what Mayor Lightfoot said, or what I said, or what you said. It has to do with what people hear. And what he said, let's put this way, what everybody heard is that in his mind, we should not open up virtually anything until there's a vaccine, and he thinks there'll be one in 6 months. Lou, that is insane. But by the way, I hope he's right. I hope it's two months. I hope it's tomorrow.
Let's look at this from the perspective of leadership and leadership style. So one of the things that I have been deaf on with the president is his unwillingness to state bad news that he thinks might be attributed to him.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I would have loved for him to, or one of his people, to have sat down with the president, you know, presidential imprimatur of authority, and said, look, here's what we've got. Here's what we know right now, and we'll tell you when that changes. But we've got a condition that is, that creates these kinds of problems. Here are things that we think we can do in the short term. We don't have enough tests. We can't manufacture enough tests. We don't have enough, you know, we're working on a vaccine. We don't have the ability to magically produce a vaccine. We don't have, we're limited technologically, logistically. We are limited in certain things we can do. Here's what we can do. And then go through the steps and say, we're not containing it. We're going to get it under control so our healthcare system isn't flunked, and then we're going to start restart. My recommendation is we're going to restart the economies. But the deal that you need to understand is I don't have the authority under our system to order everybody back to work, and I don't have the authority to shut everything down. That's your local officials and that's your governors. You need to talk to them and work with them to pull us through on this. We will give you guidance. We will pump money into the system where we can. We will push federal direction where we can. But that's our limitation. I would love for somebody to come out and give that kind of a speech.
Yeah, except then you drop it to the governors, where a guy goes, I'm shutting it for 2 weeks. It was like a Three Stooges auction. Well, I'll be 3 weeks. I'll be 4 weeks. It was like you're being more of a governor or something. It's like,
that's, again, a president that I would like to listen to would have said the strength of our federalism system is that we will test varying responses. Some of you live in places where you've got a real problem. A lot of you live in places where you don't. So our response to this is going to be different based on what's going on in your localities.
Yeah, except,
and I call on the governors to engage in the kind of creative thinking that we've traditionally done on these issues.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that at all, but I agree except for one thing. I don't think, Lou, don't take this wrong, bud, because you have your expertise in areas that I don't begin to know what the hell you're talking about, but I know you're always right. You can't, I think, I honestly believe, because I've been spending too much time because we're all locked in here, there's every Saturday and Sunday I get on the computer and I read a report from some doctor in bum something, it says, man, oh man, I had somebody in here in like January or February and I didn't know what was wrong with them. It turns out they had. I don't think there's a spot in this country that hasn't been touched, that there isn't a soul that has this thing. I mean, there might be a couple of places somewhere, but I'm saying, like Matty Weber and I have been talking, and you know, I'm learning a lot from Matty these days. I could never tell him that to his face, but there's spots in Iowa that all of a sudden, miraculously, trying the places that are doing pork producing and stuff, they're massive hot spots right now. There's no place that people are going in and out of, delivery people, where there's any kind of action load. It doesn't have an outbreak.
But it's clear that the conditions are different in different places.
Yes,
New York has a fatality rate that is through the roof.
I understand.
In large part, because of their crowding, but also in large part because the governor ordered them to
get nursing homes. And they also had hospitals. Lou, they had hospitals in the get-go that were having people treating people with COVID and then going making rounds in the rest of the hospital. Clothes.
Some of that I can understand because we didn't understand just how contagious and infectious the thing was. But my point is this. Denver, where I live, does not need to be put under the same kind of lockdown restrictions as New York. We don't. We're not at the same level. We're not seeing the same level of fatalities.
Plus we're past that.
We're obviously not seeing the same level of exposure.
Okay, but what an economic thing, the point I'm trying to make here, not very well. The point is, we have an economy that is, the efficiencies that have been gained in the last 20 or 25 years, I mean, it really have been spectacular efficiencies, have been in just-in-time inventories. Everything shows up.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you have, you know, trucks moving more on trucks than rail. You can guarantee they get there on time. Some, you know, the rail guys would say I'm wrong on that, but some rail areas you can, some you can't. The idea that you can, I mean, when Trump said 3 weeks ago, and I'm not bitching at him about this, but he shows that he's a real estate guy. He's, if the factory can open up in North Dakota, they should. My first reaction was, why? What are they going to sell it to? You can't open a ball bearing place without the wheel place being open. There is an amazing amount of shall we say, cooperation, connectivity between all these places. So the idea that you can have 50 governors on 50 different schedules, to me, it may work on disease-wise, but it sure doesn't work economically. It doesn't work supply chain-wise.
I agree, and of course, this issue is writ large in the global economy, in which we've outsourced a lot of, you know, manufacturing and a lot of our pharmaceuticals to places where they can do it more cheaply on the idea that this is the most efficient way of doing things. And this takes us back now. This mindset maybe needs to be readjusted. And so this takes us back to the what I call the military, the military mindset of efficiency, which says that economic efficiency does not necessarily equal functional efficiency in times of crisis. So the classic example of that is the NATO issue. Each NATO country was producing its own main battle tank. The Brits had one, the Germans one, the Germans and French produced one, we had one, and it creates all kinds of logistical inefficiencies in terms of supplies and in terms of, you know, keeping things running and in terms of maintenance. And yet, once you get into a shooting war, it multiplies the complexity and the difficulty for your opponent, who now has to plan for three different kinds of weapon systems that he's facing on the battlefield instead of just one, and adjusting his tactics constantly to a deal with whether he's got a Leopard tank in front of him, a Chieftain tank in front of him, or an Abrams tank in front of him.
Well, maybe you can tell us the difference in those tanks.
We've got
to do it after a break, Lou.
Got
to do it after the break. I'd love to give us a short version of the difference between those. S&P futures down 1175. NASDAQ futures down 34. This market does not look good after 2 days of 500 in a row. We'll be right back. We'll go over that.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howley. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Lou Michaels with us as well. S&P futures down 1275. And Nasdaq futures down 33. This sort of just happened, although the market's been lousy for 2 days. It started middle of the day, really, on Tuesday. So not good. Dow futures down 95. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 207. That's 2%. These guys are following up on us yesterday. FTSE down 149, 2.5%. CAC around down 88, that's 2%. Over in Asia, Nikkei down 352, that's 1.75%. Shanghai down 27, that's a full percent. Hang Seng down 350, 1.5%. Just as a review yesterday, Dow Jones down 516, that was 2.2%. S&P down 50, 1.75%. NASDAQ not quite as bad, down 139, 1.5. Bonds, 0.61, they're sinking down as, again, or the yield, which means bonds are going up. It's always the inverse. The Bund minus 0.54 and Japan minus 0.007. Oil's actually up today, 94 cents, 26.23. First time it's been over 25 in a while in the near-term contract. Brent up 99 cents, 30.18. Natural gas 161. RBOB 87 cents. Gold is up 360, 17.20. Silver up 4 cents, 15.72. Copper 233, still can't go anywhere. Matty, what do you got for us? Trevi Weather Sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. A couple of issues out west. We have a crash on the Jane Addams I-90 tollway on the inbound side at Gulf Road that's blocking the two left lanes. So pretty significant crash there if you're coming in from the northwestern suburbs. So keep that in mind on I-90. And then just directly south of there on I-355, the Veterans Memorial, there's an overturned vehicle on the northbound side at Army Trail Road. Out in the western suburbs, that's causing some delay. So a couple of crashes out west. But no issues on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower and Stevenson looking good. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning. Weather today, lots of clouds and thunderstorms on and off throughout the day. We've already had a dumping of rain about an hour and a half ago, and then we'll get a couple more, it looks like, throughout the day, with temperatures ranging from the upper 60s at the lakefront to the low 70s further inland. We'll call it a high of 73, but lots of rain in the forecast. Right now it's overcast, rainy, and 55 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 92 today. Right now it's clear and 69. In sports, not a lot going on, obviously, but the NCAA announced yesterday that it has extended indefinitely the deadline for college basketball players to withdraw from the NBA draft and retain their college eligibility. There used to be a deadline set for June 3rd, but that date is extended indefinitely until we get further down the line here before players will have to make their decision. Chief.
The other day we had a good one, Ernie Banks, 50-year anniversary of his 500th home run. That was a good day, actually.
That is a good one.
I actually saw that one, right?
Believe in person?
No, I was watching on TV.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the highlight on TV a bunch of times, obviously. The stadium looked pretty empty, but I'm sure a lot of people say they were there.
Oh, well, yeah. I was there opening day, 69.
And the stadium wasn't that empty. There were some people.
Oh, but 69 opening day was mapped.
Oh, I bet it was packed. Yeah well, obviously 69 throughout the whole season there was.
Yeah, Was the anyway, Lou? I have a kind of a question for you. By the way, if
we want to talk sports for a little while, I've got a couple of legal issues that'll pop up. The first is Zion Williamson and what's happening.
Oh yeah.
Hey,
can I ask you one quick question about the economy? Sometimes, Lou, when people ask me all these high-end questions about money supplies and stuff, I think, Lou, at some point you drop back into somewhere, you try and come back into something called common sense, because in grad school, and maybe I don't know if in law school the same thing you were on, if you took all kinds of different law subjects. I went to grad school at one point where I thought I finally learned what I was there to learn, where it struck me that advanced cost accounting, advanced finance, advanced marketing, advanced accounting, financial accounting, when you get to a high enough level, they're all the same subject. They come down to a certain amount of common sense and managerial expertise and managerial, like I said, you know, being able to put things together and make them all sort of move together as a machine. And I don't understand. I've got the one article, one comment that Brendan made 2 weeks ago sticks out in my mind. We have a Fed that is driving these prices up, driving interest rates down. So what they're doing when they say they're going to buy corporate bonds is you may, you know, if you're running someplace, you buy this bond at some ridiculous price, meaning that the interest rate's, you know, whatever, 3% or something, and then you go, why am I even doing this? And the next day, the Fed comes and buys it from you at higher. And you go, I thought I was an idiot yesterday. These guys are really idiots for paying this price. But it's the Fed. And by the way, it's made money in 2 days. I'll sell it to them. Now, whether or not the thing is going to be a good bond or not, or whether they're going to, you know, suck whatever on it, that's one story. The other story is, you've just made a profit. Are they targeting the profits to certain people? Or is there... Are we picking winners like we've seen to be doing? But at the end of the day, they've been buying municipal bonds. So they're buying them up at levels. Now, nobody knows this area better than Brendan. That's what he did. He was in state municipal funding forever. He says your 90% of your purchase, maybe not 90, but a lion's share of your purchases are insurance companies. They buy municipal debt. So they don't pay taxes on it. And they buy it long term. They never intend to trade out of it. And that's how they do life insurance. That's how they do annuities. That's how they promise people 3% or 2.5% or whatever. He says, you've driven them to a number in which no insurance company is ever going to buy it. So you've essentially driven the regular customers out of the muni bond market by making, I'll pick a number, making a muni bond return 1.5%. Insurance company is going to go, I can't buy something at 1.5%. So now the insurance companies are in trouble. In the last couple of days, I'm hearing we're going to have to bail out insurance companies. Why are we bailing somebody out when their source of income we just ruined? I mean, is there an adult anywhere that's watching us and saying, "Well, you can't do that. You just screwed this guy." I mean, this is so.
Well, this is. I mean, you know this. This is the law of unintended consequences, writ large, as a large player with overwhelming economic power. Comes into a marketplace and distorts it with, you know, its policy goals. You know how that works. That's the same. It's not just with investment policy, a tax policy. Think about how try to benefit, you know, certain groups or certain people in tax policy.
Yeah.
Think about how that blows up, blows up everybody else's business that's even tangentially related to it. Think about healthcare policy. Where the government comes in and says, you know, we've got issues with oversupply and too easy access to certain technologies, so we're going to cut that back, and the ripple effects that flow down from that's classic, a classic example of government interventionism and the unintended consequences that always flow from something like that.
Okay, but Lou, what I'm searching for, and I'm never going to find it. Okay, and I know I'm not. I'm searching for the man behind the curtain that says we're gonna screw our insurance companies. Okay, we're gonna screw this group. We're gonna screw savers to beat the band. But never in our lifetime, no matter how bad it gets, if the unemployment rate gets to be 90%, are we gonna say, by the way, for the next 3 months, we're gonna have a cap on credit card interest of 10%? Somebody somewhere in that area is so damn powerful, whether it's J.P. Morgan has been resurrected from the grave, or what? I don't. So there's areas we just can't go. In other areas,
well, I think a lot of it has to do with what you can argue in public, and what you think that your voting public is going to understand. The voting public understands a direct intervention into something like credit card interest rates, and that is deemed to be too risky, too much government intrusion.
Wait a minute.
Monetary policy is opaque.
Wait a minute. You lowered the cost for banks down to zero, and yet you don't have. I mean, it's like if I decided for some reason I was Daddy Warbucks beer, and I had so much beer that I was going to give it to all the saloons in my neighborhood for free for 2 months. And I walk in and I see Nick still charging $5 a beer. I go, hey, buddy, let some go through, will you? The banks are letting nothing go through, Lou. We've got people, the government is sending people $1,200 checks, and we've got banks that we're giving money to, and we got them charging people 25%. Why? To me, I can't.
I agree, but you're asking for a degree of coordination, and again, a global view of this, and this is the real issue. There's no global, there's no 50,000 foot view on this. There's nobody sitting up there.
Well, that's what a president's supposed to do. That's what a president's supposed to do.
This kind of a view across all areas of policy.
Well, but I mean, that's what your president's supposed to do.
It's not just banking.
I know, but
it's not just the monetary system. It's the healthcare system. It's our defense system. Any large organization is going to react that way.
Well, I guess, Lou, I have to believe.
Which is why your search is fruitless.
Well, but somewhere along the line, somebody has. It's not just you and I on a podcast in Chicago. Somebody at one of these Fed meetings is going to go, "Hey, or in the government." I mean, we're talking about the Democrats in the Senate have come out with $3 trillion. They're throwing money at everything. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're forgiving this. They still won't touch the credit card interest. Who's the champion of credit card interest? Does the guy have a militia behind him? Everybody else is being gouged, and yet there's a few spots you just can't touch. And I'm just curious.
That may be as simple as political contributions, but I don't know.
Okay, well you're going to say you're going to head wherever you're going to head the sports
I was
thing.
I was going to head to talk a little sports because I like to talk sports at least for part of the show.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk briefly about the Zion Williamson situation.
Don't be brief, because that's why I sent you that thing the other day.
Yeah, the agent issue, and what appears to be happening, and this hits a little close to home because I'm a huge Duke fan,
and you're an agent too.
Yeah, but I can tell you right now that all of this, so many of these allegations ring true. Number one. And, number two, the kid himself may not have known exactly what was going on. The situations in which parents and step-parents look at their progeny as a meal ticket are legion. He may not have known what was going on. I'm reasonably certain that Duke was probably talking to the shoe people, but being, trying to be as careful as it could with regard to this. Maybe there are Duke fingerprints on this, but I really doubt it. This smacks of so many situations that I saw when I was an agent where, hangers on, people who know the family are sticking their hands out to these athletic agencies saying, I can get you an intro in. The athletic agencies say we can make payments to your parents. It really is a huge problem, and so this stuff rings true. That's the first thing. The second thing is you're really seeing the fallout from the Uniform Sports Agents Act, which is in play in North Carolina and a number of other places. And the first thing that you notice on this is that there's virtually no penalty to the athlete, legal penalty to the athlete in these situations. The contracts that are being described in the complaint and in the pleadings on these three Williamson lawsuits.
Lou, you want to start from the start? Tell everybody what exactly is going on, briefly.
Well, I don't know exactly what's going on.
Well, one agent is suing, right? An agent is suing. It says
an agent is suing Williamson and CAA, the Big Athletic Representation Agency. This woman's name is Ford. She is suing them because she alleges that she had a contract for representation with Zion Williamson and that he's breached the contract, and he breached it because of CAA's involvement. In the meantime, there is another guy who has surfaced who is suing Ford, saying he's owed 5% of whatever Williamson's revenue was because he arranged the introduction between Ford and Williamson's family. Not to Williamson, but to the family. So the problem with all of these allegations is that in the pleading, in her complaint, when she alleges these meetings all took place, if what she's saying is true, under the uniform agent law, any contract formed with this kid by an agent who is not represented to do business in North Carolina is void. It's totally unenforceable. There is no contract. So she's literally, as I understand her pleading, she's literally alleged that this guy owes me money based on a contract that I've just admitted is no good. It's a real mess.
Is he from North Carolina?
I'm sorry?
Is Williamson from North Carolina?
No, but he was playing in North Carolina.
Okay, but I mean he's
from South Carolina originally.
All right, so if he signed it in South Carolina, why is
no? But he's playing basketball in North Carolina.
All right,
that's where he's going to school. She makes the approach to him while he's in North Carolina. That's a North Carolina agreement.
Okay,
and so you know, I mean, everybody, trust me, this all started to roll out in the early aughts. And in the late 90s with agent representation and registration. And if you weren't a registered agent, if you didn't register with the state and pay your taxes to the state, then you tried to go in and recruit somebody, you were in violation of it. And in fact, North Carolina has enforced this law against several agents involved in a North Carolina football recruiting scandal back about 10 years ago. But regardless of that, this case, it's really going to be a mess. And, of course, now Ford has alleged, in addition to the formation of some kind of contract with Zion's rep, with Williamson's representatives, she's alleged now that Williamson himself and Duke knew that she was paying $100,000 to Williamson's stepfather for a guarantee that he was going to sign this agreement. And it's a mess, but
well,
it's a mess that absolutely rings true to me.
Well, one of my former contributors to the show, when he got hired somewhere, I wouldn't let him in. But he was from Florida, and he was tutoring some kid because he was just trying. You know, he was a real good athlete, and he said he wasn't the brightest, but he was learning. Was a nice kid. All of a sudden, one day, the father and mother per his church mice, the guy pulls in the driveway with a brand new F-150. I mean, what my buddy Beldo's joking, who knows where Beldo gets his stuff, the lady who told the recruiting agent from some school, unless you're willing to pay as much as saving, get out of my house. You know?
Yeah. Oh no, it doesn't surprise me a bit. This is actually a little bit worse, in my mind, because these are agents now who are supposed to be subject to regulation by the NBA and by the NFL and by Major League Baseball, but who are just violating the law and jeopardizing the amateur status of this kid and his team. So I'm very interested to see how this plays out. It looks to me like what Ford is doing with the release of a lot of this information is trying to get some kind of payoff leverage. In other words, she understands she's not going to be representing Williamson. She understands that she's lost out. What she wants now is money.
Oh, sure.
And she's gonna take a torch and set fire to everybody, to Duke, to Williamson, to CAA, whomever she has.
Well, every time something like this happens, and somebody breaks the veil, it's a cesspool. I mean, for how many years? I mean, everybody knows. Well, I think everybody should know. A lot of these kids from broken homes and bad areas. Everybody has, shall we say, a what do they call it when you go in the hospital? You got somebody that speaks for you. Everybody has a, not a, what's the word? Somebody represents you, like if you're.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so.
A proxy or whatever.
Yeah. So, but it used to be the high school coach, right? It was basketball. He was the guy that kept the losers away from you, you know, when you're in high school. And so Sonny Cox was renowned about that. Now he got a little bit of an ego because of it, but the bottom line is that's why parents wanted their kids to play, or the mothers, dad probably wasn't around, but want their kid to play for Sonny Cox because he kept the gangs away and he kept the idiots away. Okay. Now, I mean, that was the reputation, whether he did or he didn't. He just died, by the way. So, and then enter a few years ago, and I'm going to say very few people understand this. I only have a view of it because the gentleman two doors away from me, his daughter played volleyball at a high level and basketball and ladies, and the AAU got involved in amateur athletics on the women's side, really, in here in Illinois. But my friend Dave Murphy, who coached football and basketball forever in California, says the AAU is a massive presence in California, even in football, where if you don't play in their summer touch leagues, if you're a quarterback or you're a receiver, you're not getting. Those guys are now the people who propel you to the next level. They've replaced the high school coach because you play way more AAU games than you ever do high school games, evidently. And now those people are the ones where they used to have the schools like even Notre Dame used to have a game where you played somebody's AAU team as a to give them and gave them part of the gate as a return for steering players to you. I mean, Lou, the money is so big economically. There's going to be somebody with their hand out. Now the agents are on the other level, on the other end, where they're trying to weasel in on the part where a guy goes pro. But there's a lot of money on where he goes to college as well. Now, whether it's a shoe contract for the AAU team or the high school team or something, there's stuff that's happening here. There's money changing hands.
Well, and that's part of the allegation in Ford's lawsuit is that Williamson was paid to attend Duke, and that is part of what she's alleging in an effort to try to set fire to everybody. So this case is going to work its way. There are three cases right now. They're going to work their way through the courts, but there could be a very quick resolution to her claims against Williamson because those contracts are void, and I mean by her own admission they're void. So it's a really interesting turn there. And then the other topic that I wanted to just briefly touch on is the Mike Flynn situation because I've practiced in front of Judge Sullivan. I've appeared in front of him several times when I was living in outside of D.C. And I just have to say that I've never seen, in a criminal case, I've never seen amicus briefs solicited, number one. And I've never seen a judge bring in another outside party to investigate whether an individual should be charged with perjury. The last time I checked, judges didn't charge people. I mean, Judge Sullivan is not Judge Dredd. You know, he's not the judge, jury, and executioner. The people that charge are the Department of Justice. They've already said that the case against Flynn is so terribly compromised because of their contact that the guilty plea should be withdrawn and the case should be dismissed. I do not understand how Judge Sullivan, especially after a Supreme Court case decision last week, basically threw this whole process that he's envisioning out. I do not understand how Judge Sullivan is able to do this. I expect that what's going to happen in that case is the Department of Justice is going to go straight to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals and just try to get an order from them telling Judge Sullivan, listen, stop with the gamesmanship. Stop acting in a way that's inconsistent with the federal rules of criminal procedure, and get this case off your docket.
Well, when we start going down the line of people who plead guilty because of all the threats the federal government makes to them, I'm sorry if it happened to Mr. Flynn, but I got to believe there's another 20,000 people in this country that went through the same thing.
Oh, so that makes it okay to do
it. I didn't say
them.
It was okay. I said this is standard procedure for these people.
No, it's not.
They did it to Martha Stewart. They did it to the guys that bought trade.
Standard procedure. It's not standard procedure for a federal judge to engage in this kind of conduct.
Well, I don't know.
Never mind the DOJ stuff. You know, the DOJ got caught this time. So we should ignore this one time because they do it in lots of other countries.
I didn't say we should ignore it this time. I said we should go on to look at some of the other ones as well.
Oh, and they will. But this, what's happening in this case is crazy, and it's the really dangerous part of it is it's fueling conspiracy theories that are looking, unfortunately, looking more and more viable. So I suspect this is all personal with Judge Sullivan. I suspect he has taken a personal dislike to Flynn. I suspect that he believes that Barr is somehow engaged in some kind of nefarious conduct here.
Which is very possible.
I would feel a lot better about that argument if there wasn't the documentary chain of evidence showing that the FBI itself didn't believe that Flynn had engaged in illegal conduct. But regardless.
You were the guy who told me that
personal for Sullivan, and I think this is a real mistake, and I'm hoping that the circuit court will shut this down right now.
I'm with you, Lou, if you feel that way. You were the one who told me that as a general on pension, you had no business doing all that stuff with the Russians.
He was a national security advisor.
All right. I thought you said that they're not supposed to do that when you're still under essentially that's the enemy, and he's getting paid a paycheck every month from us.
He's getting a paycheck. He took money. It wasn't the Russians that he took money from. It was the Turks, number one. That's fine. You want to bash him on that? I'm not saying that was a smart move. But he wasn't charged with that, Chief.
I know, that's all I'm bashing him.
He was charged with something else.
I know, that's all I'm bashing him. We'll talk about more about this next week, Lou, because you're right. This is something else I don't quite understand, but I'm not saying that he's a wholesome character in my mind. Doesn't mean he should
be going to... I'm not trying to argue that either. I'm looking at this from the perspective of the state hammering this guy for political purposes part of a wider operation.
They're hammering him for political purposes. People. He's the last of a long line of that, and it shouldn't happen to him, and it shouldn't happen to anybody. But it does.
I agree. It looks like Chicago politics to me.
Absolutely. SP Futures down 13. NASDAQ Futures down 48. Not good after the last 2 days. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks. Mr. Farhi Hamzy.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again. Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here. Hold on. Welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. This is Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Fry Hamsey with us. S&P Futures now down 1675. We're continuing to leak here. NASDAQ Futures down 61, so not good.
Murphy, what are you doing to my mic? Mark, what are you doing, Murphy?
It's in the crap hole.
You said 17. Well, that's what Seinfeld calls the currency flush. Well, we'll be talking about that in the Trumpkins, and that's their fate come November 3. I think it was 174 days to go. We have a countdown going on.
Well, we're down, what are we down, 1,300 Dow points now in 30 hours?
Mm-hmm. You know, people kept on telling me, why are you short? You know, one guy even wrote to I put it on Twitter. One person, I won't say guy or girl, that's not right. I said that, you know, this is going to consume you. You have such a great record. This is going to kill you. When are you going to come to your senses? I hanged up and I said, I'm staying short. Because of that. Because of just that. The day they're going to speak for me and tell me what to do with this market, I'm done anyways. Staying the course.
Yeah. I'm going to...
Our job is targeting.
Yesterday was a
Navy operation. Our job is targeting.
Last today is a very rough day for the market. Between Fauci saying...
Correct.
You know, either we want everything to stay closed until there's a vaccine. We've got... The Fed now, what is with these people? How does Paul come out and say, they just ran it again on CNBC, that he's looking for some help from the fiscal side. Out of all the people in this world, Ferry, out of all the people in this world, he must understand that at this juncture, and I don't care who you could be John Keynes in your grave, and I'll stomp on it and yell at you down there, there is no such thing as fiscal policy. Because every single...
So by the way, where is he buried?
Well, I have no idea, but... Chicago,
isn't it? Chicago?
Even Milton Friedman, I think, is buried in California. Keynes is probably in England.
Yeah, England. Okay, gosh. Okay.
But the, But I mean, 80% of the money right now that the federal government is spending is made up money from the Fed. So
who's going to show up? Mnuchin said we have $3 trillion. About treasury sales. Who's got the money? Who's going to write the check? It's only Fed.
2.7.
Fed is doing it. At a digit. Remember that March 15th, 6 or 9 days after the low, 2009, when Scott Pelley of CBS 60 Minutes interviewed Ben Bernanke, first time they opened the doors of the Fed, that I call the temple. The temple, affectionately known as the temple in Washington. And a living Treasury, I mean, like a living Fed chairman giving a taped interview, whatever, but fresh that day or that day before interview. It's unheard of. And he showed him his monitors. This is how I had a digit. Well, just they got 10x what they had before.
Yeah.
But at some point, I'm going to pull it back. I have a list. So this is all funny money. This is the ultimate funny money. It makes monopoly money rich.
Yeah, I don't. They've got this view of this helicopter money as being, and somebody somewhere. This is the Larry Summers. This is this whole John Galbraith, who's the guy who got the Nobel Prize for whatever god reason. The guy who writes for the New York Times. What's his name?
Which one?
He writes for the New York Times.
The guy from Princeton. The vice chairman.
No. He's just comes on all the time. He's a writer from. Writes for the Times. Was he from Harvard? What the hell is that? I don't know. Anyway.
No, you're talking about, what do you call it? Paul Krugman.
Yeah, yeah. That whole group is the negative interest rate, throw money at everything, don't worry, it'll all come back. The whole idea here is that if you don't worry about government debt, the whole clue is, the whole idea is that if your debt is growing by 2.99% a year and your economy is growing by 3%, you're okay, don't even worry about it, because in the year 2025, you'll eventually catch up. As long as
Krugman's with the SUNY's. He's with the University of New York. Yeah, so he's not from Princeton. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, Krugman. You mean about Krugman? I meant the other guy. I'll find his name. Go ahead.
So, but that's what, that's where, all this comes from. And that's the new mantra. Don't even worry about it. So even now, throw as way much as you can out there. It's a one-time situation. A year from now, we'll bounce back, and next year we'll grow 4% or 5%, and our debt won't grow at all, and we'll start coming back at it. We'll be okay 30 years from now. The problem is, we never seem to get to the 30 years now. It just keeps growing.
We'll keep on refinancing.
Yeah. So, that's where we're at, and I don't even understand how you can, Fauci can, I understand where he's coming from. That's his thing, that's his opinion. And how you could say, just keep everything the way they are and don't let anybody die, which is impossible. And then all of a sudden, I predict a vaccine in 6 to 12 months. I can't imagine what downtown Chicago looks like a year from now, Farley. There's no one here
exactly.
Now.
Magnificent miles, right?
Yeah. How many people are we going to, and who's going to pick up the pieces? Are we going to have like 4 or 5 rich people left in the country and that's it? And everybody else a slave?
Well, they'll leave. You know what's going to happen to taxes, right? Hey, wait a second. Krugman, he was at Princeton.
Yeah.
In 2008, he got it. So I'm talking about the guy before that. There's a guy who shows up. He was a vice chair of the, he was vice chair of the Fed also. What was his name?
That was a different guy.
He looks like he looks like a ghost. I don't see it here. Okay. Unbelievable.
Well, let me get a load of this. This is what we're going through here. We have a state in Illinois that is all over. Trump has been threatening not to give federal funds to areas, to states and cities. Well, cities, I guess, includes the state that have these.
That they don't help the supreme leader.
Sort of.
That didn't vote for him.
What do they call it when you're not gonna help the feds grab the illegal people?
A sanctuary city.
Sanctuary city.
Sanctuary city.
So Pritzker.
Thank you, Maddie.
So Pritzker is dead set against this, right? Can't stand it, allegedly. Now get a load of this, our useless governor. To communities downstate that are open.
Well, let me ask you a question. Well, before we go there. Why do the governors or mayors love to be a sanctuary city? What's their motivation? Because they have already embedded so much votes there from the minorities?
Because
they're illegal?
You have people that have been living there for 10 or 12 years that have kids that aren't causing anybody any problem. Now you're going to go beat on their door in the middle of the night and rouse them out of it?
Why don't you make them legitimate then? Or the government doesn't. Or federal government doesn't want to.
Right.
We've got to solve this problem.
So now Pritzker...
And those who don't fit any of the categories, if they're out.
Well, here we go. But now Pritzker says because he can't stand that.
I hate to sound like a fascist, and maybe I am a fascist, but we can't have the status quo is no good. We got to resolve it.
Farley, we have Hispanics in this city that have served 1 and 2 tours in the Army and still aren't citizens.
And they're unbelievable. That's what I'm saying. It's broken.
Yeah, it's broken.
You got to get them over the line.
Anyway, Matt's hero, Jay. To communities downstate that are opening on their own, the governor warns of regulatory action. The individual areas are going to lose out on their federal recovery funds. Doesn't that sound the same as Trump?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same playbook? I'm cutting back on your federal funds if you don't do what I say. We don't want Trump to do it. Pritzker's okay for him to do it.
I'm losing you guys. Are you asking me the question?
Yeah, we can hear you, but you're breaking back and forth. Walk to the other side of the room. We heard something.
Hold on, let me fix this. How about now? Do you hear me better
much
now?
Much better.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Manny, at least he learned the rules of warfare from Trump, didn't he?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What I'm saying is there's a couple of downstate...
And I don't know why you're talking about...
What did he put in his coffee today?
I'm talking to you because you're...
You have Fari on the phone.
I got Fari and I got you, but you're more up on what's going on in Illinois than Fari is. So my point is that Fari's always complaining about Trump. I'm saying is here we have a guy who's picked up on one of Trump's, shall we say, weapons and is now using it against other people in Illinois. So he didn't want Trump to do that to him, but now it's okay for him to do it to other people.
What's he doing? You're talking about Pritzker?
He's gonna intercept the federal recovery funds for counties that let people open up their stores before he says they can.
So counties have power over the governor? Is that...
Well, cities.
I mean, and cities have power over the governor?
Well, obviously, Jay doesn't seem to think so.
No, I'm asking how it's set up. I don't know.
I don't think he has the power to do what he's saying right now. That's why he lost that court case. He has a 30-day thing or something. Where's Lou when I need him? But I don't think he could keep things closed forever without even going to the state legislature and everything. He's not a dictator. I mean, I don't know where the line is.
You're assuming that, right?
I'm assuming he's not a dictator. I think he thinks he is.
Exactly.
But
when you got somebody like Barr around,
yeah.
What do you got?
Well, I mean...
Cover up General Barr. Remember, what's his name? Who was the New York Times guy who called him that?
Not sure.
Sapphire.
Yeah.
Bill Sapphire. This conservative guy called him a cover up general with what he did with Nixon.
All right, Fire,
we're in a mess.
We have you out here to talk markets and... Let's just say...
Sure, let's talk about markets.
Everybody's talking about the V-shaped recovery and everybody...
No, there's no such a thing. Think about rolling Ws.
Okay, but I'm saying the V...
I can name it myself because I look at these other guys. They're all a bunch of imbeciles.
But
they're hoping. This is not about hope.
That's the thing.
You're going to be expecting.
They're
going to be rolling Ws. They're going to be deorbited. Let's put some space into that, okay? Deorbited. So they're going to change orbits because... We go to a little W, it doesn't work for us. 3 months, 6 months later, oh gee, this doesn't work. Oh wow, we don't have a vaccine. Next orbit, please. We go further down. We stay there a few W's, then another W's, you'll see. Listen, the odds of us getting a vaccine is just that. It's like me hitting a $1 billion jackpot tomorrow. Not gonna happen.
Right? We'd love it to happen, but it's not going to.
Well, we all do, but it's not gonna happen. Listen, if I do, I'll buy you your own boat.
What do you think?
Even big enough for you to fit with Maddie and his bride.
But if you and I and a bunch of people have,
yes.
By the way, I'm kind of caught long here in a few spots in small spreads,
yeah, sure,
but still,
sure. Uh-huh.
But still, I really want to be caught long here. But I mean, in the last week or so, everybody's trying to make believe that it wasn't just the Fed putting money in and so forth. We actually had this recovery. These firms actually were looking beyond and are doing this and that. The fact is, they're still laying people off, right? And they're getting worse by the day.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So all of a sudden...
We've got to have a number of shortly. To me, this is the first wave. We've got to have secondary, we've got a tertiary waves coming. As a result of people who were being spent by the money of the people who are laying off now. Okay? The people who lay off today, they're going to have... They were spending their money up to now somewhere else. Those guys are going to get laid off. It just always works like that. It's not a one push. It's not a one pump. It has impacts. So this is going to reverberate.
But
then the reality will sit in, and all these economists are going to go back to drawing boards and say, "Gee whiz, we kind of missed this."
Well, I've said this a few times. I honestly believe that everybody's view was that this was all going to work out. That the federal government was going to keep everybody afloat money-wise for 45, 60, 75 days, maybe.
No way.
And now Fauci and everybody yesterday, all of a sudden that's been, and Ben Powell, what they did is extend that. And I don't think that there's anybody who thinks that if it's 6 months from now, where do you put the market then? We're not unchanged on the year 6 months from now if we're sitting like this. I mean, I hope...
Did you see what Boeing guy said? The Boeing CEO yesterday?
Something about 2023 or something?
He says it takes us probably 6 years to get back to growth. 4 years to get to where we were in 2019. Another 2 years before we get back to growth. Listen, the guy has got 450 737s on the ground.
Yeah.
That he has to give keys to somebody. No production. Ready. Hello. No material you need to order. No hydraulics. No satellite dishes inside for your GPSs. No avionics from... use aircraft. You don't need wings from Wichita. Nothing. It is sitting there ready to go. Painted.
Fari, what do you think As a
I remember dude, I used to build these suckers.
I know, as a dude that used to build
long,
these suckers.
Hold on. It's a long, like, there's a name for that. Long, I forgot. It's a long-term commitment you make to get these long-term items that you need in inventory. Okay?
Oh, sure.
That means like the aluminum that you need. The stuff, and our engines are built big by engine companies. Like, GE is thinking about bankruptcy. That's probably the finest engine in this world, is a GE. I'm sure they could maybe string it off or pass it off. Somebody would buy it. They have to. But that's one of the finest jet engine manufacturers. It'll impact military. It'll impact commercial. Why would somebody order an engine now? How many spares do you need for, what do you call it? Your attack airplanes. There's no commercial flights, really. Not at 5, 10, 15% capacity. So, it's just a huge mess with Boeing. And largest technology-based exporter in the U.S. in dollar value.
Oh, sure. Without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
What's look
what's happening with oil. I am really worried about something beyond all of this. Reserve currency.
Farhi, if
they don't need to, hold on, let me finish. They don't need to hold on to that much dollars, the central banks.
No.
If the price of oil is at $6. And nobody's using anything. The very little imports are needed. And there's no economy. And it's at $6. Listen, the second contract is going to drop. Look how much they're financially. Did you notice last week? They moved the crude from June delivery, 2 weeks in advance, went to July. Why? That's $5 to their baseline price right now. At least less chance of going negative again. This tells me, and what is China doing? They're trading with Iran quietly in yuan for the oil. So we may possibly lose U.S. dollar as reserve currency. You know what you should at that point? Rise and fall of Roman Empire. As a friend of mine from Harvard wrote to me and says, hey, that's what I'm reading. What are you thinking? And it just hit me. It's a reserve currency.
The Fed really has to, before they keep pumping dollars into the system, they have to understand that they're a reserve currency. And somehow or another, they're not understanding that. And I don't, we're just, if it starts to go, I didn't want to think about it, Farhi, because.
I know. Do you?
I actually thought that these guys would be smart enough to start opening some things up gradually all along the way here. And they're just not. I mean, and then Fauci comes out and says what he says, and Paul, I'm not so
this
sure.
This is a lot worse than we think, senor. Fauci to me is a scientist and a patriot. And he's got the guts to speak his mind. Anybody else would have been fired by now by this monster.
But you
see what Jared said, right?
Yeah, but
we may not be ready for election this fall. Yeah. Really?
You know what the...
No. They have no legal powers, neither him or his father-in-law, to move that date. That's his firing date. I said that on Twitter. No, we're not moving your firing date. You're going to be fired on that day. We're done with you guys and all your tribe.
I read something about that, and we'll have to have one of our attorney buddies confirm or deny it with me. Kevin will check me out on this. He always does. I think that there's a law as part of the presidential succession law that's not in the Constitution, mm-hmm. was law afterward. I think... If Trump succeeds, well, I'm not saying he's going to try or not. If they postpone the election,
right,
it doesn't matter. He still leaves office on January 20th.
If they do what? I'm sorry.
If he is required
not
to,
after his first term.
If he's not reelected,
it's going to finish on January 21st. The issue is January 21st.
What I'm saying, the inauguration of the new guy, it could be him, is on January.
If they postpone the election, then. How do you know who's reelected?
You don't know the next president.
What
yet.
I said was,
good point, Maddie.
The law says that the president leaves office on January 20th. So, yeah, if there's no new guy,
I
don't know what you do. But the fact is, no matter what, if he pushes the election off, he still has to leave. Now, what happens after that, I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm telling you what I'm
saying. Before that, we'll have a 25th Amendment move. I think he's going to get to that point. This is going to get so bad that I'm inching up on my bet on the what's the chance of 25th Amendment. I think even somebody will come out of the Trumpkin side will be our era, Barry Goldwater. Then saw Nixon with two other guys and said, you're done. Next day he left. We're going to get there shortly. This is beginning of a beginning of this phase, okay? Really, this is the beginning of the end of this phase. We got a long way to
all go. Right, so you got,
if the second wave hits, let's say September, October, they're going to take him out. But on writing.
Okay, so who's coming from the other side? We said the Democrats and Congress.
And they're going to put Pence in, and then there's going to be another election.
Pence
is a caretaker. Pence cannot run this country.
Well, whatever. The Democrats
just like Reagan, Jerry Ford was. Pence is Jerry Ford.
The Democrats just came out with a $3 trillion bill coming out of the House.
Who's going to pay for that?
And when there's no money.
Exactly. And my friends who are holding all this gold, the thing's going to go up. I said, who's going to buy it from you? Why would somebody buy gold from you? He goes, what do you mean buying? I said, well, what's the value if you can't sell it to? Wait a second. Funds flow. You want to get money for this, so somebody has to buy it from you if you're selling it to somebody, Mr. X, whoever that X is. How is Mr. X going to get the money to buy it from you?
Well,
there was no answer.
Not really. I mean, if you
have... Who's going to buy it?
I understand that.
But central banks are selling, they're not buying.
I understand it, but what I'm saying is any kind of hard asset, if you're going to double the amount of money in the system, you'd rather own a building or gold than have cash, right?
Yeah. What?
Just saying, doesn't mean that there's going to be 100 buyers from your building because the world's in turmoil. You'd still rather own the building. It's still worth more in relation to cash than having the cash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it would be, but I mean we have the last.
Well, if he's doubling up, you're holding cash is stupid. I agree with you.
Well, sure, but we have.
But who's going to have? But remember, he's not the only one who would be selling that gold.
The talking heads were trying.
They've been holding it for a while.
Talking heads are trying to explain to people how. The market was correct last week by going up every day and how it was seeing ahead.
I am. Everybody's telling me you should change your bias, Ferry. You got to get on the Trump train. I asked him, remember this was all of a sudden the scene from, what's his name? Taxi driver. He said, you talking to me? You talking to me? What do you mean? Get on the Trump train. I was never on Trump train. I never accepted you guys. Who are on the Trump train? You want me to join you guys? No way.
Well, the market has gotten so. I mean, we had a meeting for one of the groups I'm with the other day, and talk about being prophetic and not even making a trade for it. I said, everybody, make sure that your portfolios you have. There's a bunch of financial money managers in there. Make sure your portfolios are in a position where if you have to move quickly, they're of a size. I mean, one of the beautiful things about the protecting the next world, throwing a selfless plug here.
I thought you were talking about the movie Heat.
I'm saying,
you can leave in 30 seconds.
And once the idea of having a protecting the next program where I'm in four or five indices for virtually all my people, and all there's stock that people have and so forth, but by and large, I'm three trades away from adjusting everybody's portfolio.
I believe you.
But you get portfolios. As a matter of fact, one just came in that I was helping somebody deal with. Fire, there's got to be 150 positions in there. And I'm like, on a day like yesterday or today, I mean, we've got one and two.
Are you serious?
We got orders one and two lots all over the place. There's a short put here, a short put there. I mean, two and a half. I said, for God's sake, if all of a sudden the tone changes, you got to put 100 orders in just in one guy's account. You can't be doing that. So everybody needs,
All you need, listen, there's good hedging comes in around 15 to 20 names. More than that, you're not going to be effective at anything.
But now you're
assuming that you don't have too much concentration running the industry.
But now you're, but you're, if you weren't involved,
I got to run. It's right. 27.
All right, buddy.
I got to run. We'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, buddy. Take care.
I got to make some shekels.
S&P futures down 22.50. NASDAQ futures down 71. Matty. I mean, when you start going the other way and say how bad the thing that's been holding the market up is, you've got the five, I was going to say idiots, but not idiots. You've got the Microsoft, you got the Apple, you got the Google, you got the Facebook, you got Netflix. Those are the things that are holding things up. Now, if they all start heading, but other parts of the market have been absolutely in they're in a depression. I mean, I'm looking at this XLF, which I actually happened to be long, because a couple weeks ago I put a spread on in there, thinking that, well, if we came back at all, the banks would have to come back. This thing is down from 31 to 20 since the February 10th. We're talking about a 40%, 33% drop in bank stocks. And this is an industry that virtually everybody is convinced, if anybody's still standing, the Fed, these are their favorite kids. And they're down. This Wells Fargo goes down every single day. I mean, I don't know what the story is with that thing.
By the way, Robert writes it on Twitter, the Speaker of the House takes office until election. So does that mean if the election's postponed because of the pandemic and January, whatever, comes and goes, that the Speaker remains in power until we're able another election?
If there's no election, there'll be no House. Because they're all elected November 2, right?
Yeah, so I don't understand exactly how that would work if the election's delayed.
Why don't we give this assignment to either Brendan or Luce, as they're our attorneys?
Yes.
Because it is, when I read that about the 20th, because the question was, what happens if Trump or any president tries to push off the election? They said, based on this law, it doesn't really matter because they're out of there on the 20th.
Yeah, but we get that, I guess, but then on the 21st, who takes over?
I got to read a little further.
Yeah.
to be continued. Well, you know what? We'll give Jan Flanagan that job.
Yeah, I think he would probably answer that better than anyone.
But, you know, maybe we'll have him call in tomorrow for 10 minutes with that. He'll do that in a second. He loves doing that stuff. We come back. S&P Futures now down 23. This is just a constant leakage here for the last 2.5 days. There's that Futures down 69. Be right back, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com, and that's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Right now. Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 30, NASDAQ futures down 90, Dow futures down 250. This is as the unemployment claims come in. I never dreamed, man, of all the numbers that we would talk about every week, that this number would ever be anything that we'd watch for. And here we are. Every dog has his day, huh? But 2.981 million versus 2.7. So while I'm doing the rest of this stuff, man, what are we totaling now? We're up to like 40 mil in the last 6 weeks or something. 38, something
I think
like
it's somewhere around 36, but I'd have to,
36,
that.
40, what's it at that point? What's
it's
the,
a big number, obviously.
It's a huge number. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 274, 2.6%, puts you down 184, 3%. Kick around down 119 points, 2.8%, so pretty decent carnage over there.
Yeah, 36 and change since the beginning of the pandemic.
Jesus. Nikkei down 352, that's 1.75%. Shanghai on 27, it's 1%. They're the ones that are hanging in a little bit best, I guess. Hang Seng down 351.5%. Bonds, we're down to 0.61 yield. So it means bonds are still going up. Bund minus 0.53. Japan minus 0.007. So let's just say flat there. Oil, however, is up 63 cents. Was up a little more earlier. 2582 is the whole number. Brent up 62 cents, 2981. Natural gas, 163. RBOB gas, 86 cents. We've got gold up 470, 1721. Where really it's been around in this area now for really a long time. Silver up 4 cents, 1571. David, we'll hear in a second. He's still kind of bullish on silver. I keep trying to get along it. I refuse to pay up, so he's hacking around in there. Anybody what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. That's thunder. You should be able to say there's thunder outside because we just heard it.
That's right. You can probably hear it on the air. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Our second rollover crash on I-355 of the morning, which is very interesting to me because I don't know if I've ever seen a rollover crash on I-355 doing these reports for as many years as we have, and we've had two now in one morning. First one we had was at Army Trail Road on the northbound side of I-355. That apparently is clear. Now we have another one on the northbound side at Lake Street that happened several minutes ago that's blocking the left lane on the northbound side at Lake Street of Veterans Memorial I-355 tollway. So,
Manny, when you're going 110 and it's slippery out, you're liable to roll over, just saying.
Yeah, and it's raining all throughout the area, so that probably factored in. So that's the major concern right now. We also have a crash on I-88 on the inbound side at Myers Road, blocking the left lane if you're coming in from the western suburbs on I-88. Everything looking good on the south side. No issues on the Ryan, I-57 or the Bishop Ford. Stevenson looking good as well, as is the Eisenhower. Further west, I mentioned that crash on I-88, but the Eisenhower I-290 is looking okay. Edens and Kennedy have been quiet all morning. We did have an earlier crash on the Jane Addams. Now we have a new one on the Jane Addams on the inbound side at Route 25. This is way out west near Elgin. That's blocking the right lane if you're coming in on the I-90 Jane Addams. So a few crashes to report, probably weather-related as we have thunderstorms this morning and we'll continue to have storms on and off throughout the day. Mild temperatures, a high of 73, but lots of rain. Right now it's raining and 56 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 92 today. Right now it's clear and 70. Cheap.
So what, David, how are you?
I'm fine.
What, well, it sure didn't take much. It was, where are we, Thursday? Tuesday afternoon about 1:30, and a few people said a few things, and all of a sudden we started south, and we've been heading south since. It's been, we've been, how many straight hours of trading now? We're not even trading yet today, and we're down, what, You got to be down 13, 1400 Dow points, right?
Yeah.
Then GE took a tumble. Every stock that
I'm on. 1100 or something going into today, and the overnight futures are down 240. So whatever that is, 1340, 1350, right around there.
Every stack I'm long, just sneakily, and some time spreads is down. I don't have a winner here. I'm okay in my main positions, and the GDX is hanging in there, but by and large, if you're long anyway, you're not happy here. I mean,
yeah. You had mentioned silver, by the way, and July is top step front month. Silver, and $16 is big time resistance, and $16.50, actually the last big cycle high was $16.50 and a half, so if it would happen to get above that, and it's still a ways away, that's still like 75, 80 cents away, it would target to like $18.30.
I'm a little less bullish on the silver today. I actually thought we might be going to open some stuff back up here and elsewhere around the world, and might get the industrial demand from silver up a little bit, but now after listening to Fauci and everybody else, I'm not so sure that's where we're headed. Hey, I got a question for
you.
Well,
and you look at copper, you know, which is also the more, you know, certainly an industrial metal, even more than silver, and it looks horrible.
Yeah, it's going nowhere. I mean, I don't, what do you, I have a question from a listener, though, first. I have to ask you. SBB, it's, I'm not big on these, you do more of these than I do. This is one of these Pro Series short small caps. I don't know. I've learned so much on the options, David. I'd rather do some puts on or a put spread than I would buy one of these things.
Damn boy, boy.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell they do on these things. These shorts. I don't know how they maintain the short. I don't know. I don't trust them. Basically, but that's just me. Any. I only deal in ETFs where I know the stock is in a vault somewhere, or the gold is in a vault somewhere.
Well, one thing about it is, just glancing at the chart, it's thin. I mean, I'm looking at daily volumes, 21,000, 26,298. I mean, it had somewhat of a bit of a breakout yesterday, but even that was on 75,000. So I just, as far as liquidity,
I
couldn't recommend it just because it's thin, even if it's correct. I mean, it did get over the 50-day moving average, and the retest today would come in 37.04. It closed at 37.85. So if someone was so inclined, again, it would not be one that I'd recommend. I'd go to something else. There's many other ETFs that are, you know, short hedges or short, you know, substitutes, you know, for being short an index. But this, because of liquidity, is not one I would recommend.
David, I have to ask you the question I don't want to ask myself. We've had all the talking heads in the last few weeks giving you every cockamamie reason on earth why the market can continue to go up, and it's looking past this thing and everything else. And I've tried not to even think about, we're sitting here 6 months, closed down, no vaccine. What's the worst... Where could that put us? And I don't think it's down 10. Is it down 40? Is it down 50? I don't even want to think about it, but what are we talking about if this is now, we're doing the show and it's October and we're still looking out the window and seeing nobody on the expressway and nobody downtown? And well, I mean, how bad can it get? Or can't even imagine that number.
There's no, I mean, that's a hypothetical that I wouldn't even want to entertain.
I know, me neither. That's why I asked you.
I mean, and I don't, personally, I just think that, you know, again, I have maybe more faith than most as far as the ability of the market to look ahead and forward price. It does move, you know, on if Fauci or David Tepper, you know, whatever, make a statement, oh, the market's so overpriced or whatever. Well, 5 weeks ago, you know, the best talking heads are notable investors were saying it's the buying opportunity of a lifetime. And Buffett, I can't find anything to buy. Then yesterday, you know, Drunken Miller and Tepper and, you know, even Powell, you know, oh, geez, it's going to linger longer. So, I mean, you know what? You put them all in a basket. To me, the market's going to tell you, and you shouldn't listen, and I don't mean you. I tend to feel like if there's 10 talking heads, there's one head it's worthwhile listening to that I can learn from. And not that I'm smarter than the rest, but the rest just, you know, how do you know that someone who's, you know, talking it down, maybe, you know, saying, hey, if I can talk it down, maybe I'll get along. So, whatever. As far as the chart goes, it looks like a mini head and shoulders top, or if you took out the last cycle low, basis, June S&P mini, 28.24.5. If you take that out, you could go maybe down to 2,600. I think if it does do that, I think it's a buying opportunity.
Well, the split, shall we say, and this is the part that, I mean, I unfortunately, David, I zero in on more of a, came from a manufacturing background at Pullman and so forth, and I was very aware when you weren't making deliveries. Fortunately then, we were still sort of getting paid because it was a government contract. When you weren't making deliveries, you weren't getting paid per car. The drain on a place, you can't even imagine the pockets that people start sticking their hands into. And I said this almost laughingly a year or so ago. I said, well, my little experience at Pullman is, you know, something on a scale of 1 versus 500 of what's going on at Boeing. And I just sort of assume, because I mean, people think I'm always negative, but I'm not. I never dreamed that here we are, a year later, they're not delivering planes, and we got a pandemic, and their whole place is shut down. I mean, I don't even... The drain on that company has to be something that makes Pullman look like a pond next to Lake Michigan, for God's sake. I mean, I look at the Amazons of the world, of which they are taking advantage, okay? And I see people at home watching Netflix, and they're gonna send in their Netflix thing before they pay their mortgage, and Verizon the same way. I mean, I get that. I try and get the changes in society, although... You know, Matty O'Reilly will be off 10 different things that people are looking for on their computers now that I wouldn't even hear of. David, you might know better than me. But I still look at the rest of the world out here, and I see every friggin' day the oil companies are in worse shape than they were yesterday. I see every gas station is in worse shape than they were yesterday. Every saloon, every restaurant, every downtown building went another day where people may pay, they may not. I mean, I can't imagine this 6 months from now as it is right now, David. I don't know how anybody has the cash to survive this other than maybe 10 places I can name that somehow are singled out, and
I'm not, you know, all that versed in the debt markets and finance markets and the like, but then you get somebody like, you know, Royal Caribbean, don't own a share, wouldn't own a share, but, you know, they say, hey, we need another $5 billion to last. You know, we if we get $5 billion and we're burning whatever $200 million a month or whatever just for maintenance, upkeep, whatever those folks that we have to pay, blah 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 blah, they go to the debt market, pledge 28 ships, and they get the financing. And I mean, not that some of them, Royal, you know, Norwegian Cruise Line had to pay, you know, 12%. The others paying 5.25%, which certainly isn't bad. You pledge 28 ships. Again, I don't have the expertise to comment, but if you were writing the check to Royal Caribbean and they were pledging ships, I mean, what would you do if they default on a 5.25% note with a goddamn cruise line? Just, you know, figure at some particular point this thing's going to disappear or get put in the shadows and you can revitalize the cruise ship?
Take this with a... God, I hope I don't want to say this and have it come true, but it's almost what you have to take this with kind of... Everybody everywhere on something that none of us have ever been through before, everybody has to make an estimate on their own for how bad things are going to be. I mean, if you're Joe's Tap or Matt Weber's Rousing Sports Bar, Matt sits there and says, okay, my drain is $10,000 a month. I've got an IRA of $150,000 I've saved up for my whole life. This is going to go 6 months. But at the end of the day, if I'm a survivor, I'm going to do better than everybody else. So I'm going to drain, if I have to pay penalties, if they stop those, $10,000 a month out of my IRA for 6 months. I'll still have 90 in there. But now this bar that's now open, people can't wait to get in here. I'm going to raise the prices on the drinks because there's four less bars in the hood. And I'm going to make this back in a year and a half. Everybody, every place, David, has to be making that sort of a... I mean, the government did that when they gave people, small businesses, loans to the end of June. What they told everybody is this is going to get better at the end of June. And whether they thought they were saying that or not, they were. And people took that message. Now, all of a sudden, if whatever the firm is that got that loan, if you'd have told me August, it's not enough. It's not that close to being enough.
No, and here's something anecdotal, but just in line with what you're saying. My son lives in Denver. He has a really good friend named Ben, and he operates a little local brewery. They do the creative beer, whatever you call it, where they make their own.
Yep.
And, six table restaurant, eight table restaurant or whatever with food. The food's break even to a loser once they pay the wait staff and whatever. But they make good money on the beer. So Denver closes, everything like everybody else. But they make a rule that you can pick up beer in a container, on a drive-by. So he furloughs all his staff and shuts down the food, which he wasn't making any money and literally losing money. Doesn't have to pay the wait staff, and he goes in there himself and does the beer on a drive-by basis. And like for 4 weeks, he literally makes more money on a percentage basis and even net than he's ever made in the 3 years of operation of the brewery. Now all of a sudden they say, we'll open up the restaurants and you can have 25% of the people at your house before. So he has to hire back the wait staff, stock up on food that's now inflated. He loses the drive-by business because everyone wants to drink, but they can't drink at the bar where they'll drink excessively. They have to drink at the table. And he's literally thinking very seriously after making more money over a 4 week period than he's ever made in the history of the business of closing the whole joint and going to law school.
Well, the idea of opening up a bar and I can't sit at the bar
you can drink, but you have to drink at your table.
But I'm saying
otherwise you can't have social distancing.
Well, if you walk in there with the place, this is what somebody was, I was listening the other day that the governor, and of course he's such an egomaniac that he can't come back even on one little thing. Well, the idea is if you have a boat, they've opened up the boating season, David. Get a load of this. Only two people on a boat, even if they're family members and you live in the same house and drove in the same car, you can't have four people in there.
Wow.
So the idea that I'm going to a bar, I'm sitting down, and I can't sit at the bar. I mean, what? Now, how do you honestly sit closer to people at a bar than you do at a table for four? Isn't it about the same?
Yeah.
Maddie,
is
there that much difference?
The other governor, I don't.
Yeah, is there that much difference? But I guess when we start to do these things, I mentioned it earlier. The Fed has driven the rates of municipal bonds down to a place where none of their customers will buy them. David, do they not even know what they're doing? What is the point of that? But how do you and I get on the list where we just, in my words, ignorantly bought some bond at 120? And all of a sudden, the Fed pays 140 for it. I mean, what are they doing? How does a really bad trade or negative interest rates? How does something that is so counterintuitive that I'm going to give somebody money, and at the end of a year they're going to give me some back? How does that ever go from something that makes zero sense to good policy?
I really have no idea. Trump pushing for negative interest rates and Powell pushing back and. They've seen, Europe, the biggest case, they've seen Japan for 30 years. They've been in, zero growth or many times recession, buy the debt, buy the equities, negative interest rates, whatever. Japan's the biggest example that they have, and it's non-performance. Why would they keep pushing?
Well, I think this is a slam against Trump, I guess, but I don't know. I shouldn't accuse anybody of this, but I don't think they understand the system, David. If you could go out somehow or another, I don't know how anybody would do this, if all the money managers of the world, you and I, somehow caught a brain fart like there was no tomorrow, and we actually went out and lent money to a government at zero interest rates, or negative interest rates, where we said, we like your program so much, Uncle Donnie, that we're going to give you $1,000 at the end of the year, you give us back $950. And he went out and built roads and everything else and bridges and everything. And he did that. I'm not so sure. I don't even know what I'd call that. But clearly, I couldn't do that for my clients. You couldn't do that for your clients. But he must understand that the only place you get to be negative interest rates is that your citizenry is not that stupid. It's your banking establishment that's printing money, and they're the ones that are paying that price. He thinks that he's going to get something, or he thinks he's going to get something for free or for negative. He's not, because his Federal Reserve is the one. Real quick, I'll try and keep this because I want to talk to David about the market. Real quick, when the Fed goes out and creates money and buys a bond, all right, say they buy a bond that pays 4%, the Treasury pays interest on that bond as they do normally, and the interest goes to the Fed. At the end of the year, you'll hear this big hoopla where the Fed turns around and writes a check to the federal government back to them on the interest on the money that they made up, and they'll say, we just returned $100 billion to the Treasury. Okay? So we get that part. But if they pay a price to which they're negative, they're going to have to send the Treasury a bill. Does Trump know that?
I doubt it. No. The way he looks at everything, really, and this is being objective, and that's not for or against, is look what they're doing in Europe. You look at what they're doing in Japan. Look what they're doing in China. And, you know, you got 13 countries or 23 countries or however many with negative interest rates. So they have an advantage over us. Everything is an advantage over us, and we're taking that advantage back because we're the best. That is how he looks at everything from far away back to within.
Well, that's not so good. So how do you pick a right now with what people are saying every day now, and it's negative? What are we looking for in terms of an announcement to turn this bus around? How do we pick a bottom here? You mentioned 2,600. Is that your next bottom? You're about to buy?
No,
it's a long way down.
2,711 is huge.
Okay.
And if that doesn't hold, then it's 2,600. Yeah, another 2% down. I think it's worth, you know, carefully, lightly, choosing best of breed in each sector. Healthcare, biotech, that kind of stuff. A little bit in tech, although it's had a huge run, but you're Staples, your Googles, your Amazons, Microsoft especially, and I do own a little bit, do a full disclosure. I mean, you know, best of breed type issues, you know, at 2711, pick at it. Start, you know, whittling down hedges. I got a ton of short calls. You know, another 2% down, I'm going to start peeling them off a little bit. And that's about it. And if 2711 does not hold, you got to believe that there's probably another 4 to 5% down.
Where do you think in Manny's opinion here too? Yesterday we heard about was it General Mills and everybody else was pulling back on their advertising, Manny, to evidently that seems to be radio and TV. What you think that's already affecting Google and
and Facebook?
Okay,
and the mix is different too. I mean, the one that I thought, and I don't own any, the one I thought would really prosper in this kind of environment is Twitter, just because, you know, it's really, you know, hands-on news, and with the elections coming up, and I figured that would be the medium, and it hasn't done any well either. All of a sudden, the one that's been, you know, the most poorly managed over the last couple of years, Snapchat, is picking up like no tomorrow. So who knows why the mix, it's not just even the incremental amount, but the mix is changing.
Well, Manny, you've always been of the opinion that Twitter never really had a great advertising platform. Is that
correct?
Improved
not compared to Facebook or Instagram.
Is that improved at all since you don't want to use
no.
it? No. So, with advertising going down.
Well, I mean, that's why. I know they expanded the number of characters. I've never even used the platform, so I know nothing. But the tout was, geez, if the election comes along, Twitter's going to do well, and folks are going to stay home with the pandemic and blah, 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 blah. And it has not happened.
Where do you put the, we got a couple minutes here, Dave. Where do you put the, you know, the talking heads, idiots, whatever you want to call them, we got 1 minute, the idea that, you know, people aren't paying rent, people are getting mortgage extensions. I mean, where do you put, like, a downtown building or those places or these big, these commercial
Commercial real estate, and I actually have a very close contact in it. It's it's tough. I mean, they're not paying rent. They, you know, we'll do forbearance with mortgages, blah, 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 blah. Federal government says it's okay. Well, now try and sell a piece of property or even lease a piece of property. This fellow is working 60, 65 hours a week, and his pay's down, you know, 40%.
Yeah, so is there a spot here today we want to at least dive in alongside? You only got a couple seconds.
No, 2% down. Around 27.11 front month future.
Yeah,
otherwise, I'd leave it alone.
We're down 29 in the S&Ps, 69 in the NASDAQ. We're not looking so good so far. Maybe it'll turn around. Tell you all about it tomorrow morning.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.